It's verses 11 through 16. It's a story about Gideon. And just so that you can understand this story, a couple things to know, a little bit of background. The political situation is rough for Gideon at this time. It's over 3,000 years ago. The nation of Israel has already grown. They've become a nation. They lived in Egypt in slavery for a while. God rescued them out of Egypt. Talk about the 10 plagues. He brought them away from Pharaoh. He rescued them by dividing the Red Sea so that they could walk on dry ground. And then the waters came back and they drowned Pharaoh's army, so they were able to escape. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years trying to figure out what it meant to follow God. They eventually invaded the Promised Land and they took residence there. And the tribes carved out different areas and they were assigned to different territories in this nation. But in the process of settling in this nation, they didn't wipe out all of the pagan religion. They didn't wipe out all of the pagan idols. And so even though God has brought them out of Egypt into this wonderful place, they still fall away. And so in the book of Judges, what you see is you see a roller coaster for the nation of Israel. You see them where there are times where they are worshiping God and they are following God and their nation is being blessed. But then there are other times where they're falling away and they're worshiping pagan idols, and God, to bring them back, allows the nations surrounding them to attack them so that they will cry out in their weakness to God to be rescued. And so what we see right before we get into this quick little story about Gideon is that this is one of those down times. For 7 years, it's been rough on the nation of Israel. For 7 years, they've been following the pagan idols, and God has allowed the nations around them to invade. The nation of Midian has been coming in for 7 years. It's been raiding the farms. It's been burning villages. It's just been creating utter chaos. And the people have no way to defend themselves. They're having to hole up in caves. They're having to dig out dens, live in the dirt, in the rocks, just to be safe. And it's at this point that our story begins. And just real quick in this story, it might be a little bit confusing. It starts off referring to the angel of the Lord, and then halfway through the story, it says, the Lord, meaning God. And so what's going on here? Are there two people? Is there an angel? Is there a God? What's going on? Understand that when it says the angel of the Lord, it does it several times in the Old Testament. It isn't a descriptive term. It isn't describing an angel that is come from the Lord. It's a name, or it's a title for God. We have a president of the United States, but we also have other names or titles for him. We will call him the chief executive. We will call him the head of state. We will call him the commander in chief. There's different titles that we have. In the same way in the Old Testament, the way that this works, when God makes his presence known to certain people in the Old Testament, it often refers to him as the angel of the Lord. And in this story, it does refer to him as the angel of the Lord, but also halfway through, Gideon recognizes that this is God who is making himself known. And so what we see in Judges 6, beginning at verses 11 through 16, the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord came and sat down under a large oak tree belonging to Joash the Ezrite. He sat down while Gideon, Joash's son, was beating out wheat in a wine press to hide the wheat from the Midianites. So the angel of the Lord appeared before Gideon, and the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, "If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Where are the Lord's wonderful deeds that our fathers have told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has given us into the hand of Midian. Now the Lord turned and said to Gideon, "Go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian." And Gideon said, "Please, Lord, who am I to save Israel? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house." The Lord said to Gideon, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike Midian as one man." This story is a fairly well-known story, and if you look at what people write about this story, you can find quite a few people that have written about it, that have commented on it. And when they comment on it, they're fairly critical of Gideon. They look at Gideon and they see a man who's afraid, and they criticize Gideon for it. Some will even call him a scaredy cat. And the reason for it is that they say he's beating out wheat in the wine press. Normally, wheat is threshed out in the open. It's up in an elevated area on a wide open floor, stone. They have the cows come and crush the wheat. They have heavy stone wheels. They'll wheel over it. And it's out as they crush the wheat, the little husk that's on the kernel of the wheat breaks off. They call this husk chaff because when it's broken from the wheat, it's very lightweight. So they want it up high in the open so that as they break it off, the breeze will blow the chaff away so that the only thing that they have left is the kernel, the fruit of the wheat that they can then gather up and ground down into flour. But Gideon isn't doing it the normal way. Instead, he's in a wine press. These wine presses, we know from archaeology and that kind of a thing, they were down in valleys. They weren't up high. They weren't big and open like the threshing slabs. They were carved into stone, and they were smaller. They had walls on them, probably 2 to 3 feet high. They could have been rectangles or circles. They would put the grapes in them, and then people would stomp on the grapes, and then the juice would go down a trough, and it would settle in another stone container, and it would just sit there and ferment. And so he's taking this wheat in this small area. He can't put any cows in here to step on it. He can't get any stone wheels to crush it. And he's beating it. And he's doing this to hide. He's doing this to hide from the Midians. And they look at Gideon and they criticize him and they say, "No, he's scared. He's afraid." They also criticize Gideon, saying, "He doesn't have faith. If he really trusted, if he really thought God would deliver him, he'd be out in the open. He wouldn't be hiding. And he wouldn't be saying that God has forsaken them. He would be realizing that the people of Israel have forsaken God. And he wouldn't be saying to the angel of the Lord, 'My clan is weak. I can't do this.' He would be trusting God and just marching out." They're critical of Gideon. Now, Gideon certainly had shortcomings in his faith. If you would read on, you would see that his faith had room to grow. But when I look at this story, I don't see a man to be criticized. I see a man who's doing everything right. I see, first of all, I see a very creative person. Because chaos is all over the place. Law and order is broken down. We know what this looks like. We know what it's like to see rioting in big cities. We've seen it over the last 2 or 3 years. We know that property gets destroyed. Buildings get looted. Things get stolen. We know that there's violence. People get hurt. And we know what we're told. Don't go there. It's dangerous. Stay away. And if you live there, stay in your house. Shut your windows. Lock your doors. And do not go out on the streets. And in this area, we can see that's what the people of Israel have done. They've gone into the caves. They've dug out dens. They're hiding. They're protecting themselves. But they've still got to eat. They've still got to expose themselves. And I see that's what Gideon is doing. And he's doing it in a very creative way. Okay, fine, he's not out on the slab. He's down in a wine press. But he's providing for his family. He's found a way to get out of the cave and harvest wheat so that there will be bread for his family. What he's doing is very good. It's creative. I also see him as a very hard worker. This is hard. We can use our imagination. He's beating this stuff. His muscles are going to get tired. He's going to sweat. And we can imagine what it must be like when he's got to try to separate the chaff from the wheat. There's no breeze. There's walls. Nothing's going to happen easily here. He's going to have to lift this stuff up and throw it in the air. And when it gets thrown in the air, is it all just going to nicely blow away, or some of it going to come back on him? Is he going to end up with like wheat kernels in his hair? Is the chaff going to stick to the sweat on his face? Are his clothes going to get dirty? I see this man is hardworking. He's doing a dirty job, and he's doing it for his family. This is good. Gideon's doing nothing wrong. But Gideon's faith needs to grow. And the reason it needs to grow is that Gideon just doesn't see himself in the way that God sees himself. God looks at Gideon and sees a mighty man of valor. Gideon sees someone who, I'm the least in my father's house. And my father's house is part of the weakest clan of our tribe. And it takes God to come along and to push him, to help his faith grow. And so when I look at this story, and I will look at where Sandra and I are now in this opportunity to go to Africa, I kind of see myself as Gideon. For long periods of my life, I can see where I was doing good things. I was doing the right things. I was doing things in a way that exhibited faith, just like Gideon had faith in this story. He listened to the angel. He knew the stories about God. He did not question whether or not God could do wonderful deeds. He may have had his theology wrong a little bit, and seeing that he thought that God had forgotten Israel, God had handed them over. Well, really, the people had forgotten God. So he had his theology off a little bit, but there's faith there. I look back at my life and I see long periods where I have faith, but it's really not growing. Now, some people might have looked at me and they might have said, well, you have strong faith. And maybe that would be the way to describe it. I was certainly praying. I was reading my Bible. I was active in church. But I look at these periods and I don't really see my faith growing. Because I, in effect, had put myself in a box. Kind of like Gideon had put himself in a box. It wasn't a box that is wrong. I was doing all the right things. I'm providing for my family. I've got a good job. I'm making good income. We've got a nice house. We've got good things. The kids are going to be able to go to good college. Things are going well. I'm responsible. I'm doing all of the right things. But in that process, I'm creating a box. And that box is, well, this is who I am. This is how I work. This is where I live. This is what my job is going to be. This is what I'm saving for. This is what I want my future to be. This is what I want the future for my children to be. And as I've got this box for me, this comfort zone, very responsible, but still a comfort zone, I've got a wife who is crying over some chipmunk in a vacation Bible school thing, saying, use me. And as it turns out, God's version of use me and the way that God sees us being used by him is similar to Gideon. And it doesn't fit my box. And so my wife comes to me and she starts to challenge the sides of my box. The career that we have may not really be on the right career path where God can use us best. What do you mean? We've got to be responsible in this country. We have to provide for ourselves. We have to provide for our kids. This is okay. We're working together. Things are fine. Well, I don't know if it's really where God wants us to be. The house that we're living in, it's a little too complicated for us. What are you talking about? It's a good house. We've got a very reasonable mortgage. We can afford this. We can do this. What are you talking about here? Well, I think we need to downsize. We need to make this thing a lot simpler. The stuff we have, we need to start getting rid of some of this stuff so that we can fit in smaller houses. What are you talking about? We've got good stuff here. We worked hard for this stuff. I'm a pack rat. I don't get rid of stuff. I keep stuff. I accumulate stuff. What do you mean we have to get rid of the stuff? But it's in this process of learning to let go. All of a sudden, the faith starts to grow. And things are different. And I'm starting to see God in a new way. And so instead of being like Gideon, where I'm hiding in my comfort zone, now all of a sudden, I'm able to let go of some things. I'm able to let go of a career. I'm able to let go of a nice house. I'm able to let go of creature comforts. But the funny thing is, too, is that the thing that I really needed to let go of were the strengths that God had given me. Also, many times we talk about faith and growing faith, and we see sin as being the obstacle. Well, a process that I've gone through is that it isn't sin that was an obstacle to me growing in faith. It was me doing the right thing. It wasn't something wrong. Is that I was doing things right. I don't want this to be misunderstood. I mean, God was there. I was praying. I was reading the Bible. I'm doing things right. But in the process of doing things right, it isn't a question of right and wrong. It became a question of power and a question of fear. Where am I looking to for strength to do these things right? Well, I'm looking to the talents that God gave me. It wasn't an issue of pride. I understood these are from God. These aren't me. But yet, I'm relying on these things that God gave me. I'm relying on these abilities and successes, whatever it is that comes from these things that God gave me. I'm relying on them as my source of power. When it needs to be God who is the strength, not the talents that God gave me. So you learn to give your strengths over to God. And when you learn to give your strengths over to God, you're really exposed. You are really exposed. You aren't in a wine press anymore. You're up on the hill where the breeze blows. And the Midianites can come. And that's where fear sets in. Because now it's like, well, wait a second. What am I really sacrificing here? Are we going to be okay? Am I going to be a good provider? How is this going to work? And it's through this process of working with Sandra, of talking to Sandra, of praying with Sandra, of praying to God, use me. Take this life of mine. Take this strength of mine. Take this power of mine. Take these talents of mine that you gave me. These talents that I rely on, these talents that have made me who I am, these talents that I have used as a box to describe who I am and how I am supposed to serve God, that I am someone who stays in the local church, that I am someone who teaches Bible studies to adults. I'm not someone who goes out into the third world. I'm not someone who goes out into poverty, who surrounds themselves by 24 teenage girls for 2 years. Take this. And the amazing thing that happens is that when you can learn to hand your strengths over to God, not out of weakness, not because you've done something wrong, but because you want God's power, but because you're praying, use me, amazing things happen. Because even though you're exposed, what you find is that the power of God still shields you from your weakness. The power of God still gives you strength. And when you go over to a place like Amazima, what you find out is that it isn't just about 24 teenage girls. They have Ugandans there. And the Ugandans are taking the lead. And you're walking side by side with these Ugandans. And they're there to help you. And they're there to teach you. And it's a discipleship role. And you can learn from each other. And you can grow. And you're being exposed to a new culture, a different culture, that takes you out of your mindset that you have here. It takes you out of the box that you have of how you see people here, of how you see yourself serving here. And it allows you to get to know God in a deeper way, because He takes you to a deeper place. It can be a scarier place. It can be a place where you feel like you have no strengths, where you've been removed from your box. But it's a really cool place to be. And that's where we're going. And that's what God is doing. And we are so excited. And we would love to have you support us in any way that you can. We need your prayers. There's a lot that has to happen between now and January. There's a lot of logistics that need to be brought together for this to happen. We'll need financial support. The way it's going to start is that what we're starting is that we're just starting to gather people together in a team. We call it a Stephen's team. It's just to help us get through this period of time. It's to be there to help with logistics as we begin this process of getting ready. It's a team that's going to be there when we're in Africa too, and if things pop up and we need help. So if there's anybody who's interested in this, we invite you, please put your name on the list. Give us your phone number, give us your email. We have brochures back there from Amazima that explain the Amazima ministries. Please take one. And we also have our postcards that we've printed out. On the back of the postcard, there is a website that's our blog. We've created a blog. Go to the blog, please. There's a few articles that are posted there. We'll keep posting articles to explain how things are going as we're getting ready. It has some links. It has links to this video that we show. It has links to Amazima School so that you can learn more about what it is. It has links to the page that you can go on if you want to provide us financial support. It has places where you can comment. And so please go there. We would love to have your support. And in this process, even though it's been Sandra and I up here talking, please, it's not about us. It's about God. We don't want this to be about us. We want this to be about God. And if there's something perhaps that you can learn, perhaps you can go through a bit of the process that Gideon went through, that I feel like I'm going through, where you learn to trust God with your strengths, where you learn to expose your own power and hand it over to God so that you really have to trust Him. Even though you're doing everything right, even though you're being responsible in every way, if you can learn to give this, it's amazing what God can do with you. And it's amazing in the way that you can see how God sees you. You can see yourself in that way, where maybe you find that perhaps I have put myself in a bit of a box. And perhaps maybe the walls do need to be broken down so that my faith can grow even greater than it is now. So before we leave, before the teachers who are going to stay, as Travis has described, let's go ahead and pray.